I want to address a question I get a lot in my research. This is the definition I use for compassion. Recognizing the light and dark in our shared humanity, we commit to practicing loving kindness with ourselves and others in the face of suffering. This is the struggle with compassion. Compassion is not a default response, because in order to practice compassion, you have to be able to recognize the darkness in you and in other people. And to me, this is the gift of middle age. It really is. This is the gift of middle age. If you come at me and you are all unicorns and bows and lightness, you scare me. We went back to this idea of rising strong. The revolution is an integration. Integration is probably the most important developmental milestone that we have to work through in midlife. I call it Brené's home for wayward girls. I have to bring back all those versions of myself into one integrated self. I remember when I first started going to church, I went and bought like 4 outfits. And we went back for the same reasons a lot of people go back. We had kids. I went to Catholic school, so they were raised without any kind of literacy around religion. And we're like, geez, do you think we need to go back to church? Do they go to Sunday school? And I remember going to like Talbot's, and I bought like 5 outfits. And Steve would say, you walk so funny at communion, because that's who I was supposed to be. You wear that to church, like a little pantsuit or something. And so I remember thinking, I can't go back and be in church and do these things and be myself. And I remember this whole integration piece of, look, all my girls are going with me to church. You know, my 1980s, crazy, hard drinking, hard living, back of Harley riding, that girl's coming to church with me. My perfect mom is coming to church with me. All these people are coming with me. And that's a big piece. And it's dark and it's light. And that is what shared humanity is, and that's what compassion is. I love Pema Chodron says, compassion is knowing your darkness well enough that you can sit in the dark with others. Isn't that beautiful? Knowing your darkness well enough that you can sit in the dark with others. And so many times what we think of compassion is I see you and you're suffering. So the first thing I'm gonna do is flip on as many lights as I can flip on. That's not about being compassionate with you. That's about my own discomfort of sitting in the dark with you. You know, and so I don't think until we can recognize that, yeah, there's a pretty gritty underbelly on all of us, and that that's what it means to be human, and hopefully we don't act from it, and hopefully we understand it, but to me, that's a big piece of what compassion is. And if you don't know your darkness, like I always like to say, if you don't have a good stripe on you, like a candy cane, little light, little dark, I don't know that you can do that. People ask me all the time about empathy and the difference between empathy and compassion. And I think compassion is a commitment and a spiritual practice. I think empathy is a tool. And I think empathy is the greatest tool of compassion. Empathy is a skill set. I can teach you empathy. I've taught it in a master's social work program for 20 years. You can teach empathy. It is actually 4 separate skill sets that come together to make empathy. It's staying out of judgment, it's perspective taking, identifying emotion in others, and articulating an identified emotion. I mean, it's a skill set. It's not a spiritual practice. It's a tool. I think compassion is the spiritual practice, but I think it's very hard to articulate compassion for people if you don't have some empathy skills. And I think it really does a disservice to people if we don't think it's okay to have a part of compassion that's teachable. We just expect people to show up and be compassionate, but that's like saying to me, hey, the pilot's passed out. You have a lot of frequent flyer miles. Can you take over? Frequent flyer miles, the number of those do not equate to pilot's license. A deep compassion for humanity does not always equate to the ability to articulate that. So empathy and self-compassion rely heavily on what I would call emotional literacy. And we don't do that, right? We don't teach that. So I think there's a real difference between empathy and compassion. And as it turns out, there are 3 stories that I think are the most dangerous universal stories that we make up. And those 3 are stories that question our lovability, our creativity, and our divinity. Just because someone did not have the ability, the capacity, or the willingness to love us has nothing to do with our lovability. Zero. So when we make up stories that call into question our lovability because of experiences we had with someone who couldn't love us, that is a profoundly dangerous story. The second one is our creativity. 85% of men and women we've interviewed over the last 15 years can remember a story from school that was so shaming, it changed how they thought of themselves as learners. 50% of those stories were around creativity, writing, or art. Unused creativity, the whole idea that you're not a creative person, oh yeah, that's fun. I used to be that person too. Like, my whole mantra was, Brene, you wanna go scrapbook, or you wanna go this photography? I'm like, that's cute. You go do your ART, I have a J-O-B. You have fun with your stuff. That was my whole approach. And as it turns out, unused creativity is not benign. It metastasizes and turns into grief and shame and judgment and hard things. Because someone did not put value on our work does not change the worthiness of that work or us. So the stories we make up about our creativity are very dangerous. And the last is really about our divinity. There is no person, church, religion, dogma, document that has the right to question our divinity because of who we are, who we love, how we show up. That is not between us and mortal people. That is between us and what we believe. Yeah, it is. And so what my invitation to you would be is remember your lovability, your creativity, are your divinity. Those things are a part of our inherent worth. We are inherently lovable. We are inherently holy, and we are inherently creative. And people can't take that away from us. It's who we are.